worked with a number of people in DC in the intelligence realm who wouldn't have kids. You know, no, I'm not going to have kids because I'm going to continue my career and children would be too much leverage. I mean, that is like so common. This is how they work. There is no line that won't be crossed, right? The idea that someone's significant other might get murdered sounds incomprehensible. Not only is that possible, it is probable. It is extremely likely that someone as close to the absolute truth, someone with the amount of access that he had with his research and his role in Google, all of that, after 20 years watching all of this shit and what they do, politicians being pedophiles, it's because they get elevated. They take people that are corruptible, they corrupt them, and then they elevate them so that they can be controlled. These are not wild theories. There's just no doubt. I don't need any evidence to know this is how it all works.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there wouldn't be TV shows about this kind of stuff if it didn't fucking happen.
Like, it just makes me so angry. There is no accountability. Nobody's accountable for anything at this point in this fiat empire. And that eventually creates ruin. Everything's in ruin. Like, nothing is good anymore. There's so much shit that's happening, and it's so obvious to me and to a lot of people that luckily I know because of Bitcoin. It's just all so dumb. The only reason that people in the United States don't understand Bitcoin is because they're too ignorant to think that the dollar could ever fail. Yeah, just like they would never lock us in our homes. You know, like all fiat currencies eventually fail. You know, if you don't think that that can happen to the dollar, you're probably the same person that was saying, yeah, they'll never lock us in our houses in 2020. And look what they did. These are the things I'm pissed off about, right? Like, why are those people not deported? Why are those programs not shut down?
It's unbelievable.
Like, what I want is for Trump to be half as fucking ferocious as they claim that he is.
Yeah.
He's not. Also, fire Pam Bondi.
Down a rabbit hole. Down. Cypherpunk.
Today's guest is Michelle Weekly, Director of Product at White Federal. But that title doesn't tell you the real story. Michelle is a former insider in the shadowy world of foreign direct investment, who blew the whistle on the global corruption she witnessed firsthand. She has toured the empty ghost cities of China, watched data be fabricated to suit government narratives, and escaped the belly of the beast to build the rails for a Bitcoin standard. From fighting the war on cash to calling for the balkanization of the United States, she is not afraid to say the quiet part out loud. She is the ultimate red pill. Welcome, Michelle.
Great to be here. Hey, that's a good intro.
I thought so, too. I added a line or two.
You guys are good at this.
Yeah, we work together and we collab a little bit, and then I just kind of write in a little stuff that I like.
No, it's always good to be here with you guys, though.
So before we went live, we were talking at a really interesting topic, and it was like the death of fiat currencies throughout the world. I just read this interesting post here by Michael Rihani. He said, in just 5 years, Bitcoin is up 4.2x from 21K to 88K USD. If Lebanon had invested $10 billion in Bitcoin back then, it'd be worth $42 billion today. But holding Lebanese pounds, the LBP has lost over 98% of its value versus USD since the crisis began. The black market rate now is 89,500 LBP per $1 versus the pre-crisis peg of 1507 LBP per USD. $10 billion USD equivalent in LBP from 5 years ago is now worth less than 0.17 billion in real purchasing power. That's over a 240x difference. Choose your money wisely. That's kind of wild if you really think about it in some of these. I mean, most people here in the US don't even think about everything that's happening in the world at writ large, but it's kind of wild.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we were talking about like the case for Bitcoin and how if you look at any of these other failed fiat currencies, Bitcoin becomes super obvious, right? And so the only bet that one would make against Bitcoin would be that the dollar was not going to fail. And I think it's just completely insane. Like we were laughing because what I said is like the only reason that people in the United States don't understand Bitcoin is because they're too ignorant to think that the dollar could ever fail.
Yeah.
And my favorite response to that is just like, yeah, just like they would never lock us in our homes. You know, like all fiat currencies eventually fail.
Did you watch Nick Szabo's speech at, I think it was Lugano Plan B. Did you ever, I think it was at that conference.
I've seen that one specifically.
Yeah, I think it was that conference. It could have been another conference, but he basically presented on this very topic, talking about fiat currencies over time. And what he showed a graph of like all of the world reserve currencies.
Yeah.
He basically showed that like it's not really, you know, it's just an inevitability that eventually fiat currencies will fail. It's just, what is your time frame? Yeah. Right? And, you know, yes, some of them could last for 100 years, 200 years, whatever it may be. But, you know, eventually when he graphed them all on the chain, right, and just, you see it go for a period and then boom.
Yeah.
And boom. And then boom. And then boom.
I've seen that chart. It's a great
chart.
Yeah,
it's kind of wild.
Yeah.
So the risk is non-zero. The risk is actually, you know, 100% given enough time based on history, right?
Right.
But, you know, what is the time frame, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be another 20 or 30 years, but that's well within our lifetimes. You know what I mean? If you're having kids today, they're going to barely be out of high school in 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's not as far away as it seems. And it could happen quicker. I mean, they're going to print more money. Mm-hmm. I think there's a strong chance that the dollar hyperinflates. Another thing people think I'm crazy for, but look at what happened in Venezuela. Look at the timeline on that. I mean, something's going to happen.
Another crazy, like, that's, yeah, look what's happening over there right now. I mean, I think I saw today they were at like 6,000% inflation, which is what they've been at forever. We were at that Bitcoin conference a couple years ago where they had all the Venezuelan bolivars in the trash thing.
Yeah.
That was in Miami. I think it was like 2020 or 2021, one of those years.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you don't think that can happen to the dollar, like, again, you're probably the same person that was saying, yeah, they'll never lock us in our houses in 2020. And look what they did. So just don't ever say that it couldn't happen here.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely not happening tomorrow. Right.
Right.
I think it's a multi-decade, you know, half century type play here over time. But the dollar has already lost 99.9% of its value relative to Bitcoin.
Right.
So obviously, based on underlying fundamentals, you and I, obviously, we've done our research. We both expect that to continue.
Yes.
Right. So if you haven't done your research, do your research.
Right. Right.
Because these are fundamental, you know, attributes that are at play here. Fundamental characteristics of money that, you know, you have to look at when you evaluate different monies. Right. So,
yeah,
that's my thought there. But yeah, I just wanted to, we were having a really good conversation about that. So I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit, just because so many people here in America just think, you know, from this first world viewpoint, when we've got literally fiat currencies failing all over the world constantly, and, you know, billions of people on this planet don't have access to banking infrastructure. They don't have access to any kind of money they can really save in. So,
yeah. And you don't have to explain Bitcoin to those people.
Yeah.
You know, people in Nigeria, Lebanon, entire countries, boom, you show them Bitcoin and they understand it. I think we have first world problems here in the United States, and it makes it hard for people. You know, I think fiat currency, honestly, is my favorite place to start. It's not even understanding the fundamentals of Bitcoin. It's understanding the fundamentals of the fact that your dollars are a fiat currency. It's something I didn't know anything about until I got into Bitcoin. I kept hearing this, like, fiat, fiat. And I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean, right? It means your currency is controlled by the government. And then, of course, you get down the central bank rabbit hole and all these things. But I think understanding that is actually, like, exponentially more important than really understanding technically how Bitcoin works.
Have you read Natalie Brunell's book yet?
I haven't. I have a copy. Yep. I haven't read the whole thing yet. Yeah.
I'm diving into it because we're going to do a book series here soon after Bitcoin Day Naples. But she has a great, like, quote that's at the beginning of the book. And it's like, you know, two fish are, like, swimming along. And then, like, an older fish comes by and he goes, hey guys, how's the water? The two fish keep swimming and they look at each other and say, what the fuck is water? I mean, I'm embellishing a little bit. I'm dropping an F-bomb in there, but that's basically the gist of it.
Yeah.
So it's like this idea of, like, you don't even know you're living in this, this aquarium, I guess.
Oh, I like that a lot. Yeah.
So it's a great quote. So shout out to Natalie on that one. That was well placed.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind? You said you're very angry. What's going on?
I'm so angry.
What are you angry
like,
about?
I just, everything is just such bullshit. You know, we have psyops everywhere. We were talking before we started recording about how they're, like, not even pretending anymore. And I think that's brought me to a new level of radicalization. And also, I'm radicalized about the fact that there aren't more people that are more angry. Like, there's just people wandering around like, oh, it's okay, you know. Like, it just makes me so angry. Like, there's so much shit that's happening and it's so obvious to me and to a lot of people that luckily I know because of Bitcoin. But you see, you know, it's just all so dumb.
Have you seen all the fiat fraud going on in, like, Minnesota and Maine all that stuff?
Yeah, like,
I'm going to start calling it fiat fraud.
I love that. I'm going to use that. It is fiat fraud. It's only, I've talked about this because
that shit can only happen in a fiat
because of dollars, right? Yeah, no, I talk about that a lot because I saw so much corruption, right? And so it's true. Like, that's one of the things that got me into Bitcoin in the way that I am. But yeah, no, I mean, these are the things I'm pissed off about, right? Like, why are those people not deported? Why are those programs not shut down?
It's unbelievable.
Like, what I want is for Trump to be half as fucking ferocious as they claim that he is.
Yeah.
He's not. Also, fire Pam Bondi. Like, put Matt
Gaetz
in
inside the system. He's playing inside the system. He's not like, you know, they call him Hitler, but he's not.
He's dude. Not.
And he's we're like, yo.
Vanilla toast.
Go do stuff.
Right, right. And then at the same time, you know, then you have this apathy psyop of like, oh, haha, don't you feel stupid for voting? It's like, no, actually I don't, because we don't live in communism.
Yeah, the other choice was so much worse.
It's right.
Like, that's what I tell people. It's like, listen, like, you know, you think you have all these choices. Like, no, you have A, you have this pill and you have that pill. And
yeah.
Like, pick, this pill is going to fucking kill you. And this pill is like, you know, slightly better than the status quo. So it's like.
And it's directional. You know what I mean? Like, no, it's not perfect. Like, no, like, yeah, if I could make the decisions, I would make a lot of different decisions. Mm-hmm. But if you move things directionally. And the other thing that really pisses me off about this, like, mocking of the, you know, system and stuff is if you don't vote. Oh, vote harder. Like, okay, don't vote and then be ruled by the fucking purple-haired, gun-grabbing lunatics, right? Because so long as we have some sort of system, someone is in charge of the system. And if you don't participate in any way in shaping how that looks, and I get it's not perfect. I get they're all coordinating behind the scenes, mm-hmm. but there is a little bit of fucking control by putting those people in. Like, we could go and fire, like, all these fucking losers that are not doing anything in Congress, they could all actually be fired if people organized and went and voted in a way that was too big to rig, the way that we saw happen with Trump mm-hmm. in 2024. And that's not a perfect solution. But, like, if people got involved, I mean, we are here in the great state of Florida. And, I mean, Florida, like, thank God for Florida, right?
Thank
because
God for Florida,
we'd be living in some Democratic hellhole with a governor that, again, wants to grab your guns, wants to lock you up during COVID. Like, don't tell me that it has no effect on your life, because
I'm so happy to be here in Florida.
Yeah, like, thank God for Florida, right? And so it might not be the solution to all of the problems, but it does have an effect on your life, because I'm not ruled by some lunatic Democrat.
I can't believe the breadth of incompetence from Tim Walz in Minnesota. And they're saying now that it's happening in Maine too, and they're like all this COVID money they printed is going back to Somalia and stuff. And these people, I mean, this is insane.
It really is.
What the fuck?
Right. Right. And that guy could have been.
The breadth of this fraud that's been going on, it's like, I mean, every day you uncover something new, whether it's COVID fraud. Now they're saying it's education. Now they're saying they're finding education fraud.
I don't think I've seen that.
This just came out today. I think Linda McMahon, she said, I think she's the education secretary or something.
Right.
She basically said that, like, there's all these ghost programs in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And kids are getting, like, there's kids that don't exist. And there's like millions flowing. It's like, it's crazy.
Well, Tim Walz has been going to China for 30 years, right? So he learned from the best of them how to create these ghost programs.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at all. Fire him. I mean, this man was like steps away from being the VP of this country.
Yeah. Yeah. I also saw something too that was crazy that. Somebody said that we won't be surprised. I think it was Geiger Capital. They said, like, we won't be surprised to see that it'll be uncovered that China is pushing a lot of the DEI stuff.
I saw that.
Yeah. Isn't that wild to think about? But it's just, it would be a smart play by them to try to destabilize, you know, a pseudo rival nation, right?
Correct.
Attack them from the inside.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised at all. And then you have all these Marxist professors going there and doing all this stuff. So,
right.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, there's definitely a lot of smoke there for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Just take Minnesota, send Minnesota to Canada. We don't need them.
We'll trade them for Alberta.
Right. Like, if you're not going to deport the Somalis, then we're going to trade you for Canada.
Yeah, it's just
into Canada.
It's insane. I mean, the problem with all this immigration, and again, like, I hear people like, oh, we've always had immigration. America is a nation of immigrants and all this stuff. It's like, yes, we are a nation of immigrants, but we also didn't have a welfare state that we just handed out to new immigrants. And we didn't pay for people to fly here and come here and give them a bunch of benefits and put them in a house on the taxpayers that live here, like, their dime. That is not how America was formed. America was formed like, yeah, you figure out how to get on a boat and, like, live under the rafters for 6 months and eat some moldy bread. And then you show up and live in a closet for 6 months until you get a job and figure your shit out.
Right. And assimilate assimilate, right? Like, yeah, America may have been built by immigrants, but they were immigrants that assimilated and want to be American.
Yeah.
The Somalis, the people coming in from the cartels, those people clearly have no interest in assimilating and being American. Right, yeah. So to me, like, that's the line. Like, if I mean, there's a lot of lines that could be drawn, but that I think is really a key factor that people.
No, I think you hit, like, the nail on the head. Assimilation is key. And, you know, that's been the whole, what is it? Who's the World Health people? Who are those people?
World Economic Forum.
WEF, the whole thing about multiculturalism, all this fucking shit, all this stuff.
Multiculturalism, you know, is bullshit.
Yeah, it's like Canada has been, look what's happening to Canada. They promote all that nonsense. And it's like, no, you come from a shitty place that you're leaving.
Right.
You don't want to be there anymore.
Right.
Cool. You keep some of your culture with your family and you like cool stuff that you like. You keep some of that stuff and you remember your heritage. But at the same time, this is America. You're going to come. This is your nation now. I'm sick of all these, you know, I'm a Somali American and I'm a Canadian American. Right. I mean, like, all this stuff is like, no, you're either fucking American or you're not.
Right. Yeah. No, you know, some like, of the most patriotic Americans I know are immigrants. I work with a handful of them at Byte Federal who came from, you know, Leonard, who I know that, you know, he came from communist Germany. He is American. We have several developers from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. They are profoundly thankful to be American.
Yeah.
You know, and... yeah, assimilate.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
What's going on with Byte Federal? I think when me and Paul had an episode a while ago and he said that there was some big announcement coming up, I believe, that they could announce. But what's happened here? What's going on?
There is a big announcement on the horizon. Oh, I can't say quite yet. We've got two pieces of news I can give you. So we do have a new wallet. So, you know, we have one of the largest ATM networks. So if you have cash and you want to buy Bitcoin, we've got you covered. Mm-hmm. But we do have a new like digital on-ramp. Mm-hmm. So we now have a custodial and a non-custodial wallet, which I think is cool. And we also have a really cool deal that we announced with a company called BurrowPay. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be enabling Bitcoin and crypto gambling in Las Vegas. So next year, I mean, in some senses, peak degeneracy, but there's a market for it. So we will build products.
Las Vegas is the place.
Right. So next year when we're all in Vegas, if you want to, you know, fund, you're staying at Caesar Palace, you want to fund your wallet with Bitcoin, we've got you covered.
When I'm there, I like to gamble on my phone at the same time I'm gambling.
You are a true degenerate.
True degen.
Yeah. No, I love you for it. So we've got lots of cool stuff in the works and a big announcement probably early next year. So I'll let you know when that happens.
No hints, no secrets, no nothing.
No, I know, it's just, it's Bitcoin company things.
I get it. It's good stuff. I love to see it. Love to see it. What do you think about the Samurai dev situation?
Are you seeing this play out? I was really glad to see it across Trump's radar the other day. Yeah, in the White House, I think it might have been just yesterday. I mean, obviously, I think it's atrocious that they were charged at all. I think it's really disappointing that the charges were filed under the Biden regime and then the case was.
But I think it's in that corrupt New York district.
It's in the Southern district
of New York.
Yes.
I mean, they're basically the mob there. I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing.
I wish that Trump would just like take the court out. You know what I mean? Like, why?
Can
they
do that? Can you get
I don't know.
That's actually a good idea.
I don't give a fuck. Just do it.
I'm pretty sure Paul, do me a favor. Look up the SDNY. Does that fall under the Department of Justice? Is that like within the executive branch? Because if it is, he probably could.
But
if it's not, if it was under the judicial branch, I mean, he couldn't probably do it unless there was, you know, explicit powers to do that within the Constitution.
Ask under
the DOJ.
Let's make sure we follow.
Under the executive branch, the DOJ executive branch, yeah.
This is the problem on the right.
You're right. You're right.
Is that they have to follow. They want to be rule followers.
You're right. You're right.
The rule.
Because if you don't have the rule of law, I mean, you basically break down into civil war.
But
you know?
There is no rule of law. Like the rule of law is gone.
When you're going against communists, you're right. They don't care what the rule of law is. When it suits them, yes. When it doesn't suit them, when they have power, it's hell no.
Yes. And I'm so tired of this. Like, well, we have to be better than them. No. If you check this out, your country.
Check this shit out. You're right. Check this shit out. It is part of the Department of General Executive Branch Agency.
So they could get rid of it.
Yeah, that's what he should do. Just get rid of that whole fucking branch. So the U.S. attorney for the SDNY is appointed by the president. But who did he appoint to lead the SDNY right now?
I think they were appointed under Biden.
But he should be able to appoint somebody now. But the Senate might have held up his. They were holding up all of his nominations and playing all these games. So let's see.
He got absolutely no recess appointments. This is it's such a racket.
They nicknamed it the Sovereign District of New York due to its aggressive pursuit of cases and relative autonomy. Yeah, I mean, so it's legally, it remains structural and legally subordinate to the DOJ. So it's within the executive branch. So yeah, I mean,
abolish it.
So yeah, so this is something definitely Trump can rule on with the Keon Rodriguez samurai situation.
Right. So he can rule on it, and he can also just abolish the court entirely.
I think that's what I would do. I would just, it's like a cesspool of corruption over there.
It's the same court that went after him.
Just trying to make a name for themselves. Yeah, they went after him. I mean, just get rid of it. I mean, that is like, it's like the epitome of corruption. And they were trying to go after him. I don't know if that was the one that, or no, that was it, a civil one where they went after him for the mortgage situation from like 30 years ago where they tried to say the bank gave him the loan. And
yeah,
like,
mortgage fraud.
So I don't know what that was too, but get rid of them all. Get rid of them if you can. I mean, but Paul, ask if he's appointed somebody to lead that. And then also ask if he can just decide to disband it. Because it might be.
But who are you asking?
We're asking.
Whose authority do you need?
Well, the Constitution, ultimately, that's how things are supposed to run. Ah, right? We're supposed to have a Constitution. Fine, right. We're supposed to have a rule.
Fine. Okay. You know? All right. As long as it's constitutional.
Yeah. I mean, we you know, like the Constitution was based on the Magna Carta, which limited the power of the king. You know, there's a whole lot of history there. So we try to play within the rules if we can, you know, I mean, that's what we should strive for. Right. But I hear you.
Ish, right? Like a little less rule following, a little more ruthlessness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see here. Deep in November 2024, Jake Layton. Let's see here. So Senate Democratic leadership, Chuck Schumer, blocked the nomination via the blue slip process. Trump appointed Clayton as interim U.S. attorney. Expired federal judge appointed Clayton to continue serving until a Senate confirmed nominee is installed. So Jay Clayton still remains the U.S. attorney for the SDNY. So it follows the resignation of previous attorney Damian Williams, a Biden appointee. So Trump does have his guy there now, but it's not permanent because the Senate will not enact it. But
they won't do any of his confirmation.
They won't confirm because of Chuck Schumer. But you know, yeah, I would probably just disband it. It just seems like such a point of like maximum corruption.
That it is. It's really stuff
and just, you know, it's a hotbed of corruption and just, you know, politically motivated waste of taxpayer dollars for nonsense bullshit.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
I also saw today that the FBI was like, we don't have probable cause to go to Mar-a-Lago and do this raid. And the DOJ went under Biden was like, we don't give a fuck. We're just going to go for it.
Yeah.
We don't care. Shoot to kill. That's what they were saying.
Yes. No.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And
that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. These other motherfuckers are not following the rule.
Right. Like that's what we're up against. And, you know, I mean, I understand it's a fine line. You want to say like the Constitution is the line. That's fine. But constitutionally. Well,
the people that did these things should suffer consequences.
Right.
And again, I hope that there will be consequences. I hope that we do stay within the bounds of the law and the Constitution, and then the people that went outside those bounds previously are punished and receive consequences. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, there's no consequences yet. You know, there really hasn't been. So.
There hasn't been.
There fucking hasn't been.
Not a Pam Bondi fan.
So let's see how that plays out because we're I believe, still year one of the presidency.
It's wild, isn't it?
Isn't that wild that it's only been a year? It hasn't even been a year yet. So we're not even a year into the presidency. We have 4 years. So, you know.
And people are giving up.
I would say give it a little bit more time. Some of these things need to cook. You have to really gather the evidence. You have to gather the details. And, you know, they did come out with a thing today about the Mar-a-Lago situation. And the people who signed off on that, you know, who decided to violate the Constitution with no probable cause and go try to do that political stuff. I mean, you do have to punish those people, right?
Absolutely.
As opposed to what you're saying, which is like, fuck it, just go for it. I'm saying like, fuck it in the sense of like, punish those people who did that thing so it doesn't happen again. There's a whole game theoretical thing about this where if you let one side weaponize the government against you and then you don't retaliate and respond in kind, you know, my thought is yes, retaliate and respond, but it's by holding those people accountable. That's kind of how I think it should be. So it doesn't spiral out of control when the pendulum comes back. And then you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm just
you know.
Yeah, but you're angry,
well, it's already, you know, like it's already spiraled out of control over here, and you can't just like gently pull it back. You have got to be ruthless.
Yeah.
And I don't think of it as retaliation. I think of it as accountability, right? And you get all these dumb labels and all this shit, but yeah, you got to be real careful holding yourself to some rules-based system that the other side gives no fucks about.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's how you end up with communism.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, I think it's part of the, isn't that like part of the, I think it was like Sawalinski's Rules for Radicals where they talk about a lot of this stuff, where they kind of say like, yeah, it's, you know, when we have power, fuck it, we do whatever we want.
They do.
You know, that's part of, play within the system only when it's convenient to follow the rules. And follow the rules. When it's not convenient, just fuck the rules.
Right.
Just do whatever you're going to do.
That's what we're up against.
Yeah. So you have to really understand what you're dealing with on that sense. There was something.
I'm going to get you more radical.
Yeah, you're radicalizing me. I had such a good question to ask you, but I forgot it. It was about all this. Oh, man. Let's change topics a little bit. What do you think the biggest themes for 2026 are going to be when it comes to Bitcoin and, you know, crypto in general? Where do you think we're at right now with the cycle, everything happening? You know, are we out of the four-year cycle? People are talking about that. You know, what do you think is going to be a big theme for 2026?
Yeah. That's tough because, you know, I'm a little bit of a doomer, and I think that the chaos is going to continue, which is historically not good for markets and assets and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've held, like, price-wise, we've sort of set a new sort of, we're like hanging out here. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of huge event, whether it's a false flag or, you know, just more like some war gets declared or something, and that we see like a dip down. I'm fully prepared for some sort of like drawdown. But then I think at some point, like, is the top in? I don't, for if there's still a cycle, I don't know, anything is possible. I think we see like a sharp drawdown. I think something is going to happen. There's going to be some major chaos. Just all of these things are escalating. You know, we see all of these events. So I think more chaos, but then ultimately Bitcoin will end up higher if you are still looking at dollar conversions, which you shouldn't be. But if you are, I don't know what comes next. We're in this like Wall Street suit coin era. It's not as fun, but it also was inevitable. I would like to see a resurgence of some of the like libertarian cypherpunk roots. And the one like sort of the silver lining of any sort of chaos that may escalate is that you will see, I think that kind of breeds the people that want and need Bitcoin for reasons other than number go up, right? We were talking about like in Nigeria, Lebanon, you have people that really just understand Bitcoin because their currency is fucked. Mm-hmm. And so I think we may recruit more people to Bitcoin because of that. Less suits, more.
I think the situation with the Samurai devs is going to be like a real sticking point for this administration. If Trump pardons, you know, Keon and the devs, I think that would be like a really good thing, obviously, for our community.
It would be amazing,
But it would draw the line, you know, in the fight for freedom and privacy, and basically say, hey, look, we're going to support development and protection of privacy and rights. So we'll see how that plays out. I mean, what's your prediction? Because by the time this airs, he might have already pardoned, or he might not. So we don't know.
Oh, I hope so. I think this is really, really important because the fight against crypto is not over, right? Like, we saw a major reversal in Choke Point 2.0 and sort of this assault against the industry. We saw a huge reversal with the Trump admin coming in. But I think it's super naive to believe that that's the end of the fight. Like, we have not yet won. And so the stronger that Trump can draw the line and say, you cannot come after developers this way, you cannot come after the industry this way, like, the harder that line gets drawn, the more well prepared we will be going into the next battle. So I think that he will. I'm really optimistic because
maybe you're not a doomer.
There's a little bit of hope, right? Because this court,
Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope.
No, but because the court is specifically the court that went after Trump and after his family, I think that that gives a little, it gives some additional insight to Trump just without even having to like, you don't have to look too closely to know how much bullshit is happening.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And so I'm very optimistic that it has gotten on his radar and that he will pardon them. And I think that would be really, really good. I'm not like full of hope. I think the assaults will continue, but it would be a really good like battle to win in the larger war.
What's you also mentioned, that's a great thought that you just laid out for everybody. Great analysis. You all, when you were talking initially, you mentioned Choke Point 2.0. You said that battle's kind of changing. Are you actually, because you're actually uniquely qualified to answer this with Byte Federal, like, do you actually see things changing there? Or are we, because I'm still kind of dealing with it from what I see.
Yeah,
like, I'm still getting told, oh, you're crypto, we can't do business with you.
Right.
I'm still hearing that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm still hearing a lot.
Absolutely.
Of
that. We have products that we can't get banked. Mm-hmm. So we have, you know, the ATMs are still predominantly like our largest line of business, but we have these other products. We've made announcements.
Yeah.
We have things that are being held up because banks are saying, no, we're not going to do that. You know, and these are not like out of the ordinary lines of businesses. They're not crazy products.
Yeah.
So is Choke Point 2.0 over? No, not by any stretch of the means. You know, like everything is still very, very difficult. I think they're going to continue to make it difficult. I think a lot of people have seen the way that Bitcoin could threaten the existing system. And so I think there's just been a pivot to sort of push Bitcoin and Bitcoin products and the whole ecosystem to push it into this corner that holds, you know, okay, then the val, like a digital gold, right? But they don't want Bitcoin to be truly unleashed. I haven't listened to it yet, but somebody just asked me, did I hear what Saylor said about like taking all the Bitcoin out of circulation? Have you heard that?
Well, I did see a post he made today about quantum. Maybe you can, Paul, can you pull up his latest tweet? I don't know if this is what you're talking about or not, but.
And basically just saying.
It was like, this is an interesting one.
Like all. If I understood it correctly, it was like the banks should hold Bitcoin, like banks and big players will hold Bitcoin and the rest of you will just use paper Bitcoin.
Let's see. Here it is. The Bitcoin quantum leap. Quantum computing won't break Bitcoin. It will harden it. The network upgrades. Active coins migrate. Lost coins stay frozen. Security goes up. Supply comes down. Bitcoin grows stronger. That's an interesting take.
Yeah. You know, I don't disagree with any of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this quantum threat is way overhyped because people are bored and they don't have anything else to FUD about right now. Mm-hmm. It's something that needs to be addressed, mm-hmm. but I don't think.
I think there's a couple already like Bitcoin improvement proposals already meant to deal with that if that actually does become a threat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think definitely down the road it could be a potential threat, but I think there would be a way for people to be. To have time to upgrade
Agreed.
Their stuff to, you know, move to a quantum safe wallet implementation or whatever it may be.
So, I agree completely.
Michael Saylor did briefly, he did mention that Bitcoin effectively could be taken out of circulation, you know, discuss this idea in response to quantum computing threats.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was presented to me quite accurately.
Yeah.
But when he, sorry, real quick, when he answered this question in here in Naples when we had him at our symposium, he said that quantum computing would likely just be able to discover the lost coins, essentially.
Well, yeah, because those coins that haven't, you know, have been lost or have, you know, eventually those wallets will get cracked if nobody's used them for 20 years or whatever, you know. And those people died or they lost the keys or whatever. And if they don't, people don't actively upgrade, right? That's the key. They don't actively upgrade. And then Satoshi's stash potentially too could also be mined. I think he had mined a bunch of different wallets that are attributed to him.
Yeah.
So there could be treasure troves out there, which at the end of the day, you know, no matter what happens, no matter, you know, there's only 21 million coins. Mm-hmm. So like, it doesn't really matter if those coins are inactive for a very long time and eventually they, a quantum computer, a treasure hunter cracks them eventually and then resells them and introduces that supply. You know, that supply, yes, the price may go down in the short term, but over the long term, that price supply will get more distributed. It will get sent out to more people and it's much better. It'll be a short-term pain for long-term gain. That's the way I think about it.
one Bitcoin will still equal one Bitcoin.
There you go. Exactly.
Can you imagine the headlines on CNN?
Bitcoin is over.
Satoshi's coins have moved. Anonymous Bitcoin creator moves nuts. Not
digital. Digital pirate treasure stash uncovered.
Yeah.
Bitcoin. Bitcoin's over now.
That would break people's brains.
Wait till people hear about what they did in COVID and just double the basically increase the money supply by 50% by pressing a button, so we could fund a bunch of Somali pirates.
Oh my God.
And a bunch of PPP loans that was like 80% fraud with zero oversight.
Right, right. And they've all been forgiven.
Yeah, you know? And all these other NGO scams that they gave money here, money there, money there. We're funding queer studies and for the Taliban. We're apparently still paying the Taliban like $50 million a week or something. I saw.
We are.
Something crazy.
It's gay. And
they tried to stop it, and they like said, no, we're not stopping this.
We'll kill you. And then everybody was like, oh, okay, no problem.
You can't even make this.
You get a check, you get a check, you get a check. Oh my God, this is the shit I'm angry about.
Yeah, no, it is. It's unbelievable. But this is fucking fiat shit, you know?
It is.
This is fiat fraud.
In a
Bitcoin denominated world, this stuff does not happen. It doesn't exist. It's not even possible because there is real oversight. You can't just press a button and make money.
Yes.
And then not care what happens.
Right.
You know, or incompetently waste it, right?
Yeah.
So. You know, what do you, you mentioned the suits era we're going into. What do you think of all that? What do you think of, MicroStrategy and all these different treasury companies and how things are playing out there? You know, do you see that as something we should be aware of, nervous about? Are you excited about it?
I don't give a shit.
You don't give a shit.
Let's see. I think for people who have assets that are fiat assets, I think Strategy is a great option. I'm glad that that option exists. Mm-hmm. I think I'm really glad to see companies holding Bitcoin on their balance sheet. I'm not a big fan of like that being the only thing that you're doing, right? So I think if you're going to make investments, you should be making investments in real companies. Like MicroStrategy is a real company. Obviously, they have a very unique use case because they were first and they have whatever percent of the entire supply. And I think ultimately that will play out and Strategy becomes some type of bank or something. But for the vast majority of these companies, like, is it interesting or not? Like, well, you know, the fact that they hold Bitcoin is not that interesting to me. So like, what else is the company doing?
Yeah.
And if they're
Jack Mallers was talking about this with,
what
if they just open a new company? And he was kind of saying, you know, we're going to be doing lending products or different things. Digital credit, they were calling it.
So. Yeah, it'll be like a financial services business, you know, and whatever you're doing, like keep doing it. I like to see these companies that are doing something. Mm-hmm. I think some of them do nothing but hold Bitcoin. And I don't really think that that's a business model. Like, I think that's great if you're a person or, you know, I don't know. But, you know, We're in like a transitional period. If you know, if the goal ultimately is hyper Bitcoinization and we get rid of all the fiat fraud and all of this shit, like how long we talked about decades possibly that it takes to get there. So I'm glad that people have access to these sort of like in between times products. It's not really for me. I don't care about the fiat structured things. But yeah, I mean, the suit era, it was inevitable.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good, like long-term when it comes to like accumulation with a lot of these like different funds and stuff that will be passively allocating to Bitcoin, like in grandma, mima, and papa's portfolio where they don't really know or understand, but hey, now they're getting a little Bitcoin.
Which I think that's great.
A good thing for them.
Yeah, I agree. It's good for everyone. And the fact that what I am happy to see is some of the rules loosening in terms of who can hold Bitcoin. You know, the banks now are allowed, you can't, you know. So that's good. I think that's good for normies who don't really know what's going on and may provide a little bit of protection for them.
Yeah. Did you see the whole, was it like JP Morgan came out with this big thing like against MicroStrategy or something? And then they said that, oh, we're going to offer the same product or something. And then they were like changing the rules on some other, I don't know what it was, but some rule for certain types of funds or something.
I don't understand it super well, but I know
it was like
they
very
basically
well timed.
It was timed. Super targeted. And I think, you know, these are the types of things that people are not quite as aware of. Mm-hmm. But these are the sort of things like when I say we're still at war. I mean, we are very much still at war with the fiat banking empire. just because Choke Point 2.0 has like slowed down, it doesn't mean that they're not playing all these games. There's going to be more games played. We're going to be targeted. And so I just think people need to be aware of that and cautious about it. And
you hit the nail on the head. Here's a philosophical question for you. When money can be created without constraint, losses are socialized and mistakes never fully clear. What does that do to accountability in a society?
It destroys accountability. There is no accountability. Mm-hmm. Nobody's accountable for anything at this point in this fiat empire. And that eventually creates ruin, right? And so we're living in ruin. Everything's in ruin. Like nothing is good anymore.
You've made the argument that fiat culture weakens people, especially men, by making survival dependent on compliance. How does money shape courage, family stability, and personal responsibility?
Oh, this is deep. Mm. Damn.
Wait, this is philosophy corner.
And it's like Maddie's voice, his podcast voice.
I got to go into my philosophical voice now.
Okay, wait, read that one again. That's like a big question.
You've made the argument that fiat culture weakens people, especially men, by making survival dependent on compliance. How does money shape courage, family stability, and personal responsibility?
Damn. I'm about to write a whole book about this. It's true what I said, right? Like, people are scared. They're scared of losing their paycheck because they say the wrong thing, right? You have this idea of a compliance, and there's a lot there. It does make people weak. And as people get weaker and weaker, society gets weaker. Like, we've talked a lot about accountability and involvement, and damn, that's hard. Fiat currency ruins everything. It does make men weak. It makes everyone weak. You have to let me think about that one. And like,
no,
like that. Yeah. These are, you know, a lot of the shit I say. It's easier like to write as I can think about it for 3 hours before I. But I think the way that you put it and you summarize sort of some of the rants that I go off on, I think really like hits the nail on the head. It makes people weak. You know, traditionally society has been led by men, you know, so who can be most weakened is the strongest people. And so
this whole idea of toxic masculinity and all this stuff,
such bullshit.
Yeah.
Like what is toxic is the lack of masculinity.
I agree.
Right? Because real men are not toxic. Real men are amazing people. And without real men, we see the downfall of society. We see like children being hurt in the bathrooms and their dad's too scared to do anything about it. And and all of this nonsense. I just saw this clip the other day of this man at a school board meeting, which is like why I use that as an example. And he brought some like older teenagers and had them start changing in the meeting. And the school board got really uncomfortable and angry, obviously, and tried to stop it. And he said, "Why are you uncomfortable? Like, you've asked my 10-year-old daughter to be comfortable in this space with men changing in front of them, but you're uncomfortable." And it was like, I thought it was really powerful and very impactful. And I hope that it made a difference at that school. And that to me is like the epitome of like a strong man, a strong dad, a strong father, a strong community member. And that is what we need to like take the reins back from the ruin that we're currently living in.
Interesting.
So I'm sure there's lots of liberal retards who are crying about that, like, oh, it was so toxic and how dare you and all of this bullshit. But like, no, like that's actually what we need to see. What needs, like, that's actually amazing. Like, good for him.
Like, some of these people are so stuck with the woke mind virus that you have to do stuff like that to their face. So they can really start to like grasp the ridiculousness and absurdity of so much of this stuff.
Exactly.
Did you see Elon's like chart that he posted, like the death of woke mind virus recently? where it just like shows like all these things and like
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah, he's got all these charts and it just shows it going up in academia, really? And all these things. And like since he took over X, it's just like right
amazing.
Down.
Amazing.
Yeah, pull it up. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's see that. I love it. I have the opposite chart that I'm always tweeting about when it started with the Smith Undact.
Yeah, there it is. Go down. The woke mind virus was easy to measure. Now it's being purged.
Yes, yes. I have tweeted that exact chart so many times.
Yeah. So you just see all this stuff and then you can just see when the PSYOP starts and Google starts pushing.
2013.
Google is totally like, you know, horrible for this because they go in the search algorithms and they manipulate it and gaslight you and push. Anytime you search a question or something, they kind of like socially engineer you with all this woke nonsense propaganda. About all these different things. Everything's racist, you know, unless you're a white person, then it's not racist.
Yeah. You see, 2013 was the turning point. You know what happened there? I've yelled enough about the Smith-Mundact.
Oh, when they could basically
run propaganda.
Run propaganda on ourselves. I think Obama repealed that, didn't he?
Yep. Yep. What? Which, by the way, is super hard to Google because they've labeled it.
Yeah, they've.
They say that he's modernized it, and so it, like, obfuscates the truth.
That's what they do. These are the games they play. Yes. And there's incredible bias in that search tweak and algorithm. This is, like, part of the reason I'm excited about AI is because it was so bad before with Google because everybody uses Google. They have that monopoly. Mm-hmm. And then the little social justice warriors that are in Silicon Valley that think they're all smart, little developers up there, they're in there tweaking the algorithm. And when it's time for an election, they go in and they literally have all of your private data. If you have a Google account, they have all of your information and they know how to socially engineer you. They have all of your data from forever. So they know every little detail that you care about or something that you like. And they know, okay, I'm going to push you this customized piece of propaganda, Michelle, because I know you care about this one issue.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Paul over there cares about these two issues. So they know that they're going to like socially engineer and do that. Paul, what are you lighting over there? Michelle's she's been sick.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is Palo Santo. I will not burn it again.
Palo Santo. I thought it was sage or something, but he just tries to make it smell good.
I know. It's very on. The scent is a little strong.
You've been sick. Tell me about that.
I've been super sick.
That's not good.
It's been really a hell of a few months, but I'm on the mend.
Was the deep state trying to take you out?
Yeah, they were.
I think Paul actually works for the deep state over there. He's got his Palo Santo, Palo Alto. I'm talking about Palo Alto and what they're doing at Google. And he lights the Palo Santo to try to.
All right. abort mission.
Oh, man.
I was going to say. What were we talking about?
Google.
Oh, yes.
But I was saying I was excited for AI because hopefully, you know, obviously OpenAI is going to be Google 2.0. Yeah. And then hopefully we have other alternatives.
More options.
At least Grok is trying. And then there's other alternatives, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also hopeful about that ish. Maybe. I Googled cultural Marxism a while ago. I was looking for something.
That term that's stuck in our vernacular. I Googled this. I Googled that. Like, I try not to even say that anymore because I'm so sick of this shit.
I'm going to grok
that shit. That's what I say. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said something about Wikipedia and I was like, or you could just not use it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, yeah, I don't Google almost anything, but I was looking for something really specific. Mm-hmm. And it told me that cultural Marxism was a far right conspiracy theory.
And the thing is, they push up to the top of the search algorithm. They push up probably all these like blog posts from these woke.
Yeah.
You know, the woke clown people. Then they like people, the very first couple of things. I mean, you know, they push all of the good stuff down and it's like they put at the top these like woke propaganda articles by these people that who is this person that's writing this article? Why is it the top of my search algorithm? Oh, this is a DEI professor at Oxford or Harvard or wherever, you know, and then they push all that stuff up to the front. And it's like, this is just somebody's opinion. This is a blog post. This is not actual information.
Yeah.
You know, and people just, that's what they read. That's the first thing they read.
It's true.
So they slowly are socially engineering everybody.
Yeah. No, they have been for 20 plus. I mean, really since the internet took off and, so you mentioned some of the AIs. I'm excited about Grokopedia.
Yeah.
Because Wikipedia is just complete propaganda. So Grokopedia, hopefully, like, also, I still have a paper, Britannica, I have an encyclopedia. Like,
oh, really?
Let's make encyclopedia
Britannica
great again. Yes. Yeah. Like paper books. You know, I think there's a non-zero chance that like everything goes down and there's nothing digital. And I'm prepared. I can't wait. I hope it happens. But you're going to need an encyclopedia, you know, maybe some VHSs that you've downloaded or like MP3s on a local hard drive, some walkie-talkies, maybe something to access the mesh network. And I'll fly my helicopter down here.
Yeah, I think we're getting to the point now with all these satellites and stuff in space with Starlink, and there's going to be other ones as well that like, I don't think there will be a way to ever take down the internet anymore. I mean, if there's 10,000 satellites flying around the Earth, I mean, I guess you could try, but some of them are so small that it's like.
Well, I think it's more a matter of interrupting communication and the flow of network data so that it becomes harder and harder to access the things that we want. Mm-hmm. And you'll be sort of like steered into these small silos so that they can hyper control the information that goes through there. That's kind of more the future that I see.
Explain that a little bit more, because I'm not understanding that. Are they
so like?
Because like, if you can tap into a Starlink satellite, aren't you like, you basically can have access to the internet? Are you saying
you're saying like the firewall?
The internet itself would be
yes, yeah. So like in China, right? Like you can't even go to certain websites. And I was gonna say like even this idea of the internet, like we talk about the internet as if it is this beacon of free and open access, which it was. I think there was this period of time, like if you go back far enough, you had to kind of understand how your modem worked to get onto the internet. Mm-hmm. And then access became easier and easier. We saw home internet access like really thrive, and then you could get on the internet with your phone, and then it was everywhere. And there was this period of time where like I think we all took access to information for granted. But 40% of websites that have been created in the past 20 years are gone.
Really?
So even like the idea of the internet that you reference, what does that even mean, right? Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that when you say the internet, you believe that the internet is a place that you can find any information that you might want. You may have to look a little harder, scroll down past Google page one propaganda results.
Yep. I don't even use Google.
Yeah. So, oh, right. But
their search algorithm is good, though. You got to give them the credit where credit's due, because if you want to find something specific, yeah, they're pretty damn good at it. But I've just gotten used to using other browsers and using other search engines.
Sure.
Slightly worse products that don't try to socially engineer me.
So you're moving. So just like, take that out exponentially over another 10 years, and you're sort of moving in the direction towards this, like, you're already doing what they want you to do-ish, right? So you've moved away from Google because you recognize that what you're getting from Google is just propaganda. And there are some other options. You can use other browsers. Mm-hmm. You can presume, you know, you can use the AI models that are coming out that presumably have full access to like all of the data that has existed. But I think that that's going to continue to get steered. And most people will not move around. They will just get steered. Mm-hmm. And the internet will no longer be like a place for free. And I would actually make the case that we are already in a place where
I already feel internet, that. That's what I'm saying. Like, right, I already feel like people are being steered and they have no idea.
Correct.
Especially like, you know, like older generation will have like no clue. They all go to Google. They all
Google,
look.
Wikipedia.
Oh, this is what it says on the first thing. Yeah. So
and that's fact.
Yeah. I mean,
they take that as fact.
Yeah. You know, you have to kind of curate your experience. I'm already doing that, you know, but yeah, most people don't even know. That's why I think this is so sinister what Google has done.
Yes.
Is the manipulation of information and the manipulation of search results, you know, and it's not just, you know, economic. There is all that really political stuff that's happening there.
Yeah.
And people are just being, you know, the algorithms are manipulating and gaslighting, and all platforms kind of are doing some of this stuff when you go on social media and stuff, but you can kind of curate it a little bit more with Google. It's like there's these.
Google's totally.
They've done these. I think it was Dr. Robert Epstein. He did this research on it and found out.
You know, they killed his wife.
That's what he thinks. Yeah. That's kind of wild.
I have no doubt.
You have no doubt. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, well, I've always wanted to talk to him about it because I've been curious. But, yes. But
I would love for you to have a conversation.
I would love to have a conversation with him. I've reached out to him once or
twice. Dr. Robert Epstein.
Yeah, come on.
Let's come talk to the ice.
He has retweeted one of your videos before.
Oh, he has. Okay, cool.
I'm going to at tweet him.
Yeah.
I was on this kick for a long time because I was like, nobody even knows who this dude is. Like, I know. He killed his wife.
Yeah, they've been like censoring him and demoting his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, he's like, so I've been trying to push it out there. I tried him to make a couple videos, but
right.
You know, obviously the algorithm just.
I'm going to help you get him on.
Oh, he's one of my dream guests. I'd love to talk to him.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's make that happen. Listen.
I'm a huge fan of his research, and he's got, I think it's called SEAM, which is Search Engine Manipulation Effect. And Sears, and there's a couple other like little acronyms that he has of like all this research
his
he's done.
Projects and stuff,
but like
yeah.
I'm a super huge fan of like how he's actually done this empirically.
It's incredible.
Where he's gotten all these people randomly all over,
right?
Where they do these ephemeral experiences, really.
Yes.
So you can't even, there's no record of it later. So when it's like election time and there's like an election coming mm-hmm. up, like Google has all your Gmail account or whatever, they know exactly who they need to kind of motivate and push right. to go vote so they can get what they want. And it's fucking crazy.
It is like, insane.
So he's literally like videotaping the screen and right. seeing, oh, you're a fucking Democrat in this area, go vote.
Yes.
Oh, you're a Republican in this area? Here's a video about monkeys and elephants. Don't,
you it's know not election day.
It's not election day.
Voting is why, a psyop.
Why you shouldn't drive today, you know?
Yeah, yes, yes. No, exactly. Right? Oh, it's going to rain.
Yeah, it's going to rain today. Here's your rain forecast in your area, you know? So this is the type of shit that's happening. It's,
yes.
It's like people have no clue.
They don't.
And it's like, it's wild. And it's honestly, it's evil. And the angle that I think that should be taken on this situation, and there really hasn't been a way to like quantify this or like figure out exactly, you know, what the effect is here. But I think Google should be fined for illegal campaign contribution when they do this stuff.
Oh, no,
elections.
Without a
that's what it
doubt.
Is. What is the value of moving? If you look at all the money that's poured into elections and you see how much money is actually spent on this shit, these campaign people raise all this right. money and spend on shit that really doesn't move the needle. Okay, you have one more ad on television, or okay, you have this one rally, or you do this one thing, or, you know, does that stuff really move the needle? Probably not. But will it move the needle if you can fucking socially engineer and manipulate hundreds of thousands of millions of people without their consent or knowledge, and you can slowly put your hand on the, you know, slowly put your thumb on the scales, and that can move a million votes and change the outcome of election?
Right.
What's the political value? What is the actual economic value of that? I'd argue it's fucking hundreds of millions, potentially, in the presidential election, you know, tens of billions. Maybe 100 billion plus,
right?
Maybe even more.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if quantify that, figure that out, have some actual evidence, and fucking report on it, and you know, go after them for illegal campaign contribution.
Absolutely.
Because that's what it is. Honestly, it's a campaign contribution, right? So, you know, you're using your product that you would charge so much money for, right? Like, if you pay Google to put your product up higher on the page,
sure.
Right, like they're gonna charge
millions of dollars.
Yeah, they're gonna fucking charge you, right? You know, you're gonna have a fee. So, what is the outcome of being able to manipulate an election and steer millions of votes during a critical period of time? I think the economic value of that is enormous. So, if they're doing that, not disclosing that, that's the angle to attack them on that. That's how you get justice for that situation.
Absolutely.
You know, and then not to mention, it's just fucking evil to be socially engineering and manipulating people.
Completely.
I mean, it's completely evil.
Yeah. Now, okay, so imagine if you will that it's not just Google.
No, it's not.
It's not. No, it's not. But
they just have the search engine.
A stronghold. Yeah. Right.
With
the
search engine thing. And that's what really can.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that like open up the internet and it's Google and they don't know the difference.
Exactly.
But I mean, one could say that, you know, the CIA has offices in the ISPs.
Of course they do.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, they also have, they have people, and they had all these people in Facebook and in social media and X and all these different things. It's like, yeah,
they're it's everywhere. Yeah. It's everything. It's really, we got to get Dr. Robert Epstein on this.
I mean, he's been one of my dream guests. I'd love to talk to him about all this because I'm just geeking out.
We're going to make that happen.
Yeah. I hope so. If you can,
I'm going to consult my crystal collection. We're going to get really woo-woo. Take your Palo Santo.
And then you can come down too. We can do a three-way as well.
I would love to meet him. They killed his wife.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask him about all that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Does he talk publicly about it? I'm not sure.
He's talked about it on Rogan. And,
yeah.
I don't know if he's saying like 100%. I don't recall if he said 100% sure. He was just very... He may believe it, or he like it was just very coincidental.
Yeah. She died in a car accident.
Yeah, I tried to do more research on it. I couldn't find a lot of... It's very circumstantial.
I remember him saying is that there was manipulation with the investigation and the report.
Right.
And that he suspected that that was intentional. And when he sought to do an additional investigation, third party investigation, that they interfered, impeded in some way. So hopefully we'll get the full story from the man himself.
I'd love to hear what he has to say about it. I think, anytime something horrible or tragic happens, it's, you want to find somebody to blame. Like, I know that's how I would feel if, like, bad things, like, who the fuck do I blame for this? And, you know, sadly, sometimes bad things just happen, right?
Bad things happen.
So, yeah, but I don't know. Look, I'm willing to entertain all evidence. When I researched the issue, I couldn't find a smoking gun.
Sure.
It just seemed it just seemed very suspicious and very circumstantial. Yeah. Right?
And there's a lot of
From what I understand, he actually had gotten some insight. Somebody, some whistleblower spoke to him and told him that. So, again, I don't know the facts here, but from what I recall from the conversation he had with Rogan, he had significant reason to believe that it was orchestrated.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to bring up a terrible topic with him, but would be happy to explore that if he's willing to, if I can talk to him at some point.
While we're on the topic, I thought Thomas Massie's wife was, I thought that was very suspicious, but then he said, there was no foul play.
Yeah. What, did she have cancer or something? What happened?
Wouldn't you say that though?
Yeah, but his actions, prove otherwise.
Yeah,
no, Thomas doesn't give a fuck. He would say whatever he thinks. He just did yesterday. He called out Trump for the Rob Reiner thing.
That's true.
Which was a little distasteful, I think.
I think
the guy was murdered by his son and his wife.
It's a little.
It's just, just say, look, we didn't agree politically, but I'm so sorry for what happened. That's horrible.
Yeah, but if you look at, somebody put a compilation of his tweets together, his aggressive attacks on Trump. I don't know. I just feel like. I want
he
more.
He was not somebody.
Like, not less.
But when somebody, no. I mean.
I know. I get it. It was distasteful. No doubt.
It was distasteful to me. I read it and I was like, kind of like, oh, this is like not the time to say this. Like, yeah, you're right. He's kind of like, but.
Right.
It just wasn't the time. It was like, hey, just say, look, we didn't agree politically, but I'm so sorry. It was a tragic death. He was murdered by his own children. I mean, it's just horrible. Really brutal, just horrible.
Before we move on, I do want to say, this idea of someone murdering this guy's wife, you referenced my time with the elites, and in DC, I lived in DC for more than a decade, and I worked in some of these jobs. If you look at some of the shows that they make, people used to ask me, if you remember, there was a show called House of Cards on Netflix about politics in DC. Mm-hmm. There was a show called Scandal. And if you look at these, we talk about predictive programming. Mm-hmm. So when people used to ask me, for example, for House of Cards, there was some really crazy shit that happened there, including a lot of murders and extreme stuff. People would ask me does this stuff really happen in DC?
I'm going to ask you about the Sam Altman situation with OpenAI and the guy that got murdered after this. So just keep that in your back pocket.
So absolutely, it's all true. In the show Scandal, for example, I forget which seasons this aired, what the timeline lines up. But there was for a whole years of this show that's airing on mainstream television. They have this shadow government that works without the authority of the president, and they undermine the presidency and they dictate elections.
That's what I'm wondering about all the shit that happened in the previous, cycle.
When
Biden was the president, more so the resident.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude was clearly, obviously
completely
was
incompetent.
Not there. The autopen is doing all these. I mean, who was really signing all those things and doing all those things? And the guy's can't even go on a 5-minute bike ride. He's falling on the ground and falling down the stairs. And he's where am I on stage? And can't respond. And it's he's clearly incapacitated mentally.
Yeah.
I don't think he was. I don't think honestly, Biden was part of the swamp for 50 years. I don't think he was the one, doing the DOJ stuff and going after Trump. I don't think he was even.
He didn't have any idea.
Oh, yeah, I don't like Trump, but not. Right. You know what I mean? But I don't think he was, actually. Yeah, he wasn't. I don't think he was in charge either.
Not even close. Yeah. He had no idea what was going on. It was super clear.
Yeah. I don't want to take you off your thread.
No, I just, I mean.
You're talking about House of Cards.
Yeah. Anything that you think, there is no line that won't be crossed, right? To a lot of people, the idea that someone's significant other might get murdered sounds incomprehensible. Mm-hmm. And I just want people to understand like the degree to which not only is that possible, it is probable. Mm-hmm. These things happen all the time. It is extremely likely that someone as close to the absolute truth that Dr. Epstein has gotten, someone with the amount of access that he had with his research and his role in Google and all of that. I mean, to me, like after 20 years watching all of this shit and what they do, I mean, there's just no doubt. I don't need any evidence to know. I mean, can we prove that they killed his wife? You know, no, like you can not necessarily, but I mean, could they have, without a shadow of a doubt?
You'd think that they would say, like, you know, if they were going to kill his wife, they'd be like, they give him a warning first.
So funny you say that, Matt, because I just went ahead and looked into it. And sure enough, if you want to go ahead and read this, it essentially, you know, it states what you precisely just said. There was a warning.
His wife, Misty Dawn, died after a vehicle spun out on a rain-slicked interstate and Interstate 15 in California and collided with a tractor trailer. She has a tragic accident with no evidence of drugs, alcohol, or other factors. After January 20 last year, after I briefed a group of state AGs about Google's power to rig elections, one of them said, "I think you're going to die in an accident in a few months." A few months later, my beautiful wife, Misty, died in a violent death. Yeah, I mean, I you know, I can see a political person being like, hey, like,
even
know,
if they didn't,
even it, like, hey, you're going to disappear.
Could have
is
unacceptable. Mm. And not only could they have, it's very likely that they did. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are not. I think you are familiar with the story of General Flynn and how they went after his kid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
we actually had a politician on here. I mean, you know, the thing was I'm trying to remember who it was that we talked to. And I guess Chris Collins. Yeah, Chris Collins. Chris said that, you know, there was like some insider trading his son did with some kind of thing. And then they basically, they used it to take him out, basically. Yeah. I mean, his son was guilty. I mean, what they did was kind of like, you know, that's what I think. I think it was, you know, there's definitely guilt there, but like, you know, what level of guilt do we have here? Is it, you know, 6 month probation is your first offense? Do you go to jail for a year? I mean, those are all, you know, reasonable outcomes. But then they used it to go after him and try to get him into it. And he basically took the fall for his son because he didn't want his son to go to jail for 10 years or whatever it may be. And, you know, yeah, they can.
I mean, I worked with a number of people in DC who, you know, in the intelligence realm who wouldn't have kids. Mm. And it was just like a commonly known, like you might ask them like, oh, do you have kids? Are you going to have kids? You know, no, I'm not going to have kids because I'm going to continue my career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, children would be too much leverage.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like so common. This is just widely accepted. Mm-hmm. This is how they work. Mm-hmm. And you know, you see all this stuff about like politicians being pedophiles, and it's because they get elevated. They take people that are corruptible, they corrupt them, and then they elevate them so that they can be controlled. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, these are not wild theories. This is how it all works.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there would be TV shows about this kind of stuff if it didn't fucking happen. You know, it's based on real events and stuff that happens and political games that are played. And it's been this way for forever.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You know.
They sunk the Titanic. They did the towers on 9/11. I mean, there's nothing they won't do. You think they're not going to target like one woman? I mean, you know, yeah, what Dr. Robert Epstein is doing is just like so insanely huge.
I just love how he brings like the evidence and he's got it on video and he's got all that stuff. I think to me, like, that's amazing, like the research that he's doing.
Yeah, it's irrefutable.
It's irrefutable, exactly.
This one's really hard to research. The Flynn stuff is super, there's a lot of gray area in there because there's so much propaganda that has been put out supporting like the counter narrative that they built against Flynn. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, didn't he call out all the shit that was happening and that like under the Biden administration that Hillary Clinton they were doing? They basically armed ISIS and they armed the rebels. It's like the United States trying to play God all over the world. You know, we always think we're God. We can perfectly, you know, like we armed the Taliban when Russia was there because it's like the enemy of your enemy is your friend. It's like, no, the enemy of your enemy is not always your fucking friend.
But let's send them a pallet of cash anyway.
Yeah. You know, the enemy of your enemy is probably still the enemy a lot of times, and they right. might even be worse than your original enemy. It's like the devil. That's why there's that phrase that's held true for a very long time, that the devil you know is often better than the devil you don't. So basically, I think Flynn blew the whistle on all of the cash and the weapons and shit mm-hmm. that we gave to the Islamic rebels to fight right. Assad. And then basically they used all that and they turned into ISIS yeah. and they created their caliphate where they were chopping people's heads off and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. So, you know, it's just kind of crazy. That was my understanding of why they went after him. But what do you know about it?
No, that's all accurate. And then I think he also blew the whistle on the beginning formation of like the Russiagate stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's a really good, he put his own documentary together for those that are not familiar with what happened with Flynn. And I think it's called just Flynn. It's just the name of the documentary. You can watch it on Apple TV. But they used his son. They arrested his son, brought charges, you know. They went after him and ultimately ended up like going after his son. And I yeah. think they got him that way.
That's how they got Chris Collins too.
Yeah. 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 So like, it's yeah. just that this is so common, I guess, is like what I would yeah. scream from the rooftops is not even necessarily, you know, people get hung up on like, I'll use Flynn as an example. Oh, I don't like Flynn, or Epstein is a good example. Cause like you said, there's so much data, and it's also, he's not really political. He's never really, but it's not about any single person, right? It's just the fact that these things are commonplace is to me like the thing that I want people to understand.
Interesting. Wow.
Because people think it's like, most people think it's not possible. And again, like, it's not only possible, it's probable. Like, these things are common.
Politics is such a dirty game. I ran for like mosquito control when I was like 18.
Did you really?
I did, yeah.
In Florida?
Yep, no, right here. Yeah, it was like, my motto was fight the bite. And like, the amount of just disgusting human behavior I witnessed just right? running for mosquito control.
Wow.
Like, all of the drama and county commissioners coming up talking to me and telling me like, oh my God, I don't like your opponent, blah, blah, blah. And then like the next day they'd go in the paper and endorse the opponent. Right. Like, this right. bitch just sat with me for 30 minutes and like told me how she doesn't like X, Y, and Z. And then she goes in the paper and endorses my opponents. Like, what?
Right.
It's like, why even come up to me? And I just saw so much like shady behavior. Just
in mosquito control.
I was like, just disgusted. Yeah,
did you tell
like,
me you were going to take Gates down?
I just said I was, I can't remember what I said. I think my whole motto was I wanted to, because like Lee County
yeah.
had put like, they put minnows in the ditches to okay. like eat the larva.
Yeah.
So that was like what I was promoting. I was right. like, hey,
more minnows.
We're doing all the spraying, but why don't we use minnows too?
Right.
So that was my whole campaign was like, though. Yeah, just like, why don't we just drop some minnows in all these ditches we have in Naples? Like,
right.
so many ditches that are full of water, yeah. and that's where all the mosquitoes are breeding. Like,
right.
just throw like 100 minnows in each one, and that
makes sense,
you
know, to me.
You probably won't have to spray as much DET, right. DDT, or whatever the hell they're just spraying all over everybody. Right. And I'm like, why am I growing a third ear?
You know what? Do it. Put minnows yeah. there.
It was pretty simple, you know.
Oh, that's just, amazing.
Yeah, I was like, well, how are we going to do that? I'm like, well, we have a huge, you know, I'm looking at the budget. I'm like, because you could look at the budget and you could see what the mosquito control budget was. Right. And it was like, there's all this unnecessary shit. It's like, you could with 50 grand, you could make a giant like swimming pool in one of the
right.
the helicopter hangars, and you could just grow a bunch of minnows in there. And then you just scoop them in and you just go drop them in all the ditches.
Common sense.
Yeah, it was like, it's not that hard. Like, oh, it's too expensive to grow. I'm like, it's not very expensive to grow minnows. You,
right.
you make a little tank and you throw a bunch of... you know, throw 10 in there, and then in a week there'll be 5,000.
Right, right. Oh my gosh. Wait, so you didn't win?
No, I didn't win. I didn't.
The corrupt guy won.
So the guy.
Because he made deals and shit.
No, no. Well, yeah, that guy never actually had run the election. That was one of the reasons I ran against him. He was appointed.
Okay.
So a lot of these things can be right. appointed. And right. they don't have to ever run against anybody. They're just appointed by the governor or whatever. Right. So this guy, you know, I didn't know too much about the guy.
So somebody got appointed.
But then what I didn't realize and what I should have researched, this was my high school guidance counselor. He was like pushing me to do this.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. And he is, you know, he was very politically motivated here locally. And I think his wife was like cousins with John F. Kennedy.
Okay.
So she was like basically helped him win his election way yeah. back in the day. And they were very, very great people. He shows yeah. me pictures. He's with Martin Luther King Jr. And he's just, wow. His name's Neil Curley. So hopefully he rests in peace. He recently passed about two years ago, sadly. But great man, great family. His wife, Joan, she was fantastic as well. But, Yeah, he was kind of just like, hey, you should care about being civically minded and yeah. engaged and right. know, do something. And he's like, look, he's like, here's a perfect opportunity. You know, mm-hmm. you're in college and, you know, you can make an impact here and you can contribute to the county this way. I was like, okay, I'll do it if you right. if you'll be my campaign manager. He's like, yeah, I'll be your campaign manager. So so we did it. And what I didn't research was that if you look at the Mosquito Control Council, it's like there's like five people or whatever, and like all their last names are like the first five letters of the alphabet.
Yeah.
So it's so far down the list that the first name voter advantage is so insane that like 99% of the time, whoever's first always wins.
Oh, that's
and so
interesting.
They list it alphabetically. So if like your name is like, you know, if your last name is like Bob or
right.
or Apple or, you know, Dave or whatever right. it may be. Like, so I'm looking at the board. It's like all, so I didn't realize that like
yeah.
nobody had won this election as the second name in like 50 years or something.
Because nobody's paying attention.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Nobody's paying attention. So people are like, oh, what the hell is Mosquito Control?
Right.
What the hell are these lower races? People just like, they just fill out the first bubble.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Huh.
So they don't feel stupid. So yeah, I didn't reach a bit.
Like that's the kind of shit that yeah. if people were involved, it'd be easy to fix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, put each election on every a single
ballot,
piece of
yeah,
paper.
There should be two
something.
Separate. There should be two separate ballots every time to eliminate that first name voter advantage. All yeah. of the ballots, some of the ballots should have the second person's name first. You should do 50-50. That way,
right.
like that can't interfere. Right.
There you
have
you
to
go.
Actively select the person.
Common
that's how sense. They should deal with that type of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's a reason, right? Like a republic, if you can keep it.
Mm.
I mean, we have very nearly lost it. And so this idea that like, oh, you know, don't do anything because it's not going to fucking matter. Like, no, it can matter. Like there's so much common sense to be had. Like if we could just deploy some common sense, you know, like put minnows in the pond. It's yeah. not rocket science.
It was not rocket science. Right. It was a very right. simple thing. And yeah. they're like, well, this will never work. I'm like, well, there's plenty of other counties that are actually doing this and it's working.
Right. Right. And imagine like you had, you know, and people get like discouraged. It is discouraging. Like, oh, I have to have an A last name or some bullshit. No, like just fix that. Like go yeah. and fix that. And I know that it's annoying and it's been, you know, we've been through this psyop of like, oh, it doesn't matter and it's not cool and all that bullshit. Mm-hmm. But like these things are fixable.
Mm-hmm.
None of it is rocket science. Like, I don't know, fix it or.
Will we ever get fair elections again? That's one of my favorite conspiracy theories that I vehemently believe in.
Do you think that we will?
No, I don't know. I mean, until we get it on a blockchain or use something like what I think it's what is.
If only
simple
was
proof.
Like something like I don't
Carlos Torriello. Have you seen his simple proof?
No. Oh yes,
they
I have.
Take
seen
the results
that.
At all the precincts and they hash the image into a hash and they put it on blockchain.
But see, you don't even need to do that. Like use a fucking piece of paper. Florida has paper ballots. Mm-hmm. We get all of our votes counted
on the same night,
like
yeah.
presidential elections, yeah. same night.
Yeah.
Done, like
yeah.
you know.
No, you could. It can be done that way.
It
absolutely,
can be done paper ballot, like you know. And sure, there's fraud that can be done there.
But they've got 2 weeks to count the votes yeah, and all this stuff. That shit's got to stop,
right?
That shit has to stop.
Right.
I mean, that's totally corrupt.
Yeah.
And even if it's not, nobody's gonna believe it because it's the appearance of it is so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're just, you know, drop boxes and mail-in ballots. And there's these mules going out everywhere
right.
just collecting. Like, I think in California, they just send ballots everywhere. So people just go around to different addresses and just pick up 100
pick
of them.
Pick up chunks of
just,
them. Right.
Then they don't verify the signature. I mean, the right. whole thing is just bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, in places so where it's structured, like California versus Florida, I think is a really good example mm-hmm. because there is still, like in California, it's absolutely, like there's fraud everywhere, but it can matter if you just maintain like a little bit of control over the structure of what's happening, mm-hmm. right? Like in Florida, we show a license.
Yep.
You have to be a fucking person with a license and you use a piece of paper and the paper gets counted. And like there's nothing, I mean, and then you look at for like California is all piles and piles of ballots, right? Mm-hmm. But like they could fix it. They could go and take over and demand that this shit gets fixed. And
who
could become
it?
More like Florida.
Who could fix it?
Like the people.
Oh, the people,
like, there's
yeah.
lots of Republicans
I mean,
or people that are
not really. They've imported like fucking
well, at this
20 million
point,
illegal
right.
aliens there.
Yeah. I mean, I really think we're at a point where yeah. like if it's not fixed now.
Yeah. That's how I felt this past election. I was
yes.
like, this is it. I mean, if you right. can't, you know, and I think Elon was saying the same thing. He was like, it's just so bad that
right.
like if you like they're bringing in so many
yes.
people and like the voting procedures and all this, it's just so captured. I mean, it's just so I mean,
we either go radical now.
Yeah, you have to.
Like either the Trump's election winning, you know, the popular vote, all like all of that. Either that was like a turning point where people dial up the radicalness and take the country back, or it's gone. We have a uniparty. They've imported enough voters. And if that happens, then OK, like I give up. I agree. Voting will not matter. But I still believe that like the system can be reformed, and that, I mean, we could have a convention of states. We can require voter ID. You know, there's things that could be done, but people have to do something. They can't just
just want to throw in so important what you're saying. And that something that's been circulating recently is this idea of referendum states and how you can collect like 10,000 signatures and that's it. And you can have this initiative, this citizens initiative, to literally modify state law.
There
and
you go.
You could actually require a blockchain voting mechanism.
Or just or just licenses.
What are you talking about? ID. What are you talking about? Is this something that's in the Constitution that the federal government says that can be?
Apparently there's like multiple referendum states, and I think Florida's one of them. I'll find out, but
because usually what they do is that like they'll do that, but then they'll put it on the next ballot as like an amendment or something. What's it called? Like a yes or no or something like that. Yeah.
In Florida, I think.
So we do see a lot of that, procedure. I think, in Florida. Because every time I vote, I always see vote yes or vote no on Amendment 14 and vote yes or vote no on Amendment 15. It's like you can.
I don't know if that's this or there are like structures in place so that people can like force change to the like state constitutions. Mm-hmm. And then the states also, you can do a convention of states. And
Florida is a partially referendum state. So it allows citizen-initiated constitutional amendments through a ballot initiative process. So it looks like they can collect signatures to propose amendments, and then it goes directly to the voters on the ballot. Yeah, they need 60% approval. Recent examples include amendments on abortion rights and marijuana in 2024. However, Florida does not allow citizen... Go back up a little bit. I want to see what they don't allow. It does not allow citizen...
Statutes.
New regular laws or veto referendums.
So like this yes for citizen initiated changes to the Constitution, right? So when you look at all this voter fraud that happened, one thing in Pennsylvania that happened is that the legislator or whatever body it was, going into 2020, they made a change to the state constitution to allow for all those mail-in ballots because it was not constitutional.
Yeah.
And so like that shit needs to be stripped back away so that the people of Pennsylvania can vote in a way that matters. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, they caught those mules this time, dumping thousands of fake ballots like the last day. Did you see that
in Pennsylvania?
Well, it never happens. Happened again.
Right. Yeah. So many coincidences.
So many coincidences.
Right. No, people, I don't know. I take a lot of heat. Everybody's like, oh, vote harder. And I'm just like, okay, like be ruled by a blue haired far left citizen. You know, like, I don't know. I think the time is now. Like either we get involved and we take the country back or it's gone. And thank God for DeSantis in Florida.
How does states' rights play into all this? Because I always like, I'm so happy to be in Florida.
Yes.
Like, if people in Seattle or whatever, they want to live like that and have total craziness, the inmates ruling the asylum, part of me is like, okay, let them do it. You know, let them do your thing. You know,
until.
The only problem, though, that I have is my tax dollars going to the federal government. And then the federal government, you know, we're paying for half of Somaliland right now in Somalia and all these places over there because of the massive fraud that's going in Minnesota. So I'm like, if they want to do it, I'm fine with it, but don't take our money to do it.
Right. Well, I think they should abolish the federal income tax.
I think so too.
Goes without a shadow of a doubt. And my only like caution with that, like, I feel like DeSantis is like our last line of defense.
He's such a good governor. He's such a good like an administrator.
Imagine you're living under Newsom.
Oh, man.
Right. I mean, there's like you mentioned Seattle, which is a cesspool, but there are people that live in the state of Washington that are not complete fucking lunatics. Like what happens in Florida after DeSantis? Like, could you imagine?
I mean, I think who are we going to get after him? Will it be Byron Donalds?
Byron? I like Byron. I love Byron. There's a lot of psyops happening already, though.
I know Byron, actually. So much. Personally. I mean, I was telling my political story. Yeah, yeah. So I told you how I ran for mosquito control. Yeah. And actually, I saw Byron. He's a good big Bitcoin guy. He was right at the Bitcoin conference. And I was like, I talked to him. I was like, I told the story because the very first I told you about Neil, my mentor. And he's like, mm-hmm. You got to go to like these events, these like right campaign events. So yeah, like the very first event I ever went to, I was with Byron. And he was running for, I can't remember what it was. It was like county commissioner or something. Right. It was like his first kind of like foray into politics. Yeah. It was mine too. And we show up at Perkins and it's just like me and him. And like, he's like a skinny, he's really skinny. And like, right, I was like much more fit and skinny. Yeah. And I'm still like strong, but like I didn't have like a, you know, this.
You got time. Kids.
Yeah. I got kids. Yeah. So when I saw him, I was like, yo, we both put on.
What year was this?
This was like 20.
No, when you first met him.
Oh, this was like 20, I want to say between like maybe like 2012, 2011, okay, 2013. When, yeah, like, this was like, you know, a decade ago.
Yeah.
And like we walk into Perkins, it's just like me and Byron, and oh, there's like just five like 70 to 90 year old ladies.
Yes.
And right, that's all it was. Right. So it was like me and Byron just like talking to these old ladies. It's like, yeah, like I want to put minnows in the fucking, in the thing. They're like, oh, that's so nice. And Byron's like talking his stuff. And like, so I reminded him, like, he's like, oh my God. He's like, I remember that. And right, I'm like, and he's like, everything runs through the old ladies.
Yes.
That's what he told me. Yes. And I was like, you're so right.
Oh my gosh. No, people ask me all the time, like, who uses your Bitcoin ATMs? The yeah old ladies do.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Are you going to run for Congress when Byron becomes our next governor and a seat is vacant?
Am I going to run? No.
Why not?
I'm disgusted with being part of, like, I realized when I ran for mosquito control and I witnessed all them, I do not want.
Like, right, but then who's?
But I like this. I like this. I like being able to have a microphone, talk about it, right, do stuff. You know what I mean? So,
right,
yeah, I don't know. I think they'll find some good guy. I have no desire to be.
I know. I understand. I feel the same way. Right, but
I mean, who knows? That could change in the future. But as of right now, like, I do care about what's happening. But I think I can effectuate change in other ways. You know?
Sure.
Did you guys see James O'Keefe's tweet about this subject recently?
No.
He really hits it on the head. Essentially, just saying that if you're not willing to get some skin in the game, then like we really can't complain about how bad it is, right? But he literally said, like, if you're not willing to put your neck on the line,
I feel that way.
And yeah, be confronted, I feel with, like, the
having a podcast is putting your neck on the line.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, you doing stuff, you know, absolutely.
I'll send political donations to candidates I like and people I like and stuff, you know.
Right.
I'll do it that way. But as of right now, I don't want to be the political candidate.
I respect it. You got your lane. But the point he was making was that if you aren't ever put in a position where you are faced with the challenge of whether or not to do the right thing or risk yours or your family's life, right? Then until that moment, you really don't have, you know, the grounds to judge, right? Because unless you're in that position, you know, who knows what decisions you'll make.
Right.
Yeah, and, true. Good point.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Hey, I took China kickback money.
How did that work?
After we toured the ghost cities, you know what I mean? We all went home and pretended they were 30% occupied and collected our bonus checks.
Oh, that's classic.
Oh, yes. 30% occupied. Meanwhile, like landing in a helicopter in the middle of the street and there's like one guy with a broom who's never seen another human in his life.
Why don't we send
the Somalis? Yes, we have all the homeless people here. Man, why don't we send the Somalis there? Wouldn't that be?
Yes.
Maybe Trump can negotiate that. That would be a good deal.
Oh, my.
Hey, China, we'll take off these tariffs and you just take like 5 million Somalians.
Put them in the ghost cities. That sounds like a great deal. Somebody negotiate that.
Yeah. they recreate like, you know, different places than China.
Too, oh, yes.
Like Disneyland.
Oh, they have
so maybe
Disney
they can land. Just.
It's like nicer than ours.
They can recreate parents. Somaliland there too. And then just.
Yes.
That would be perfect.
I love you're in charge. I love this. Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, have the Buccaneer.
I actually watched, like, you know, the situation is so messed up, you know, like, I think there was one, like, Somalian who was, like, blowing the whistle on it. Did you see him? He was, like, talking about how, like, they have no desire to assimilate.
They don't.
Like, he's like, when I got here, I was like, well, he basically wanted to get a job and, like, do stuff. And, like, literally the whole community was like, no, don't do that. Just get on the government paycheck and do this and get the grants and whatever.
Welfare.
Yeah. And he's like, no, like, I didn't come here to do this. I came here to assimilate.
Yeah.
So he was, like, blowing the whistle on it. Yeah. So that's why, like, I really don't like this, the idea of identity politics. I don't like that. I like that, you know, people can be their own individuals. I always fall back to this thing of, like, you know, the individual is the ultimate minority.
Yes.
I love that quote. Mm-hmm. It's like we have to protect the individual.
Right.
Because just because you're this race or this sex or this ethnicity or this whatever it may be, yes, you can look at trends and patterns and certain, if you judge people as a population, patterns emerge, mm-hmm. behavior patterns, but that doesn't mean there aren't individuals in right. each race or each subset or each thing that can be their you know, themselves and they could be different than the majority or whatever, right? So I think it's so important to still treat people as individuals because, you know, some of the Somalis themselves were the biggest whistleblowers on this whole
right,
issue.
Right, and so, that's important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, because nobody like knows the inside details more than insiders. So no, I completely agree. Like, I'm not against all Somalis yeah. categorically. It's the ones that are not assimilating. Yeah. It's the ones in
which
fucking Congress.
Seems like the majority of that group.
Right, it yeah. is the majority of
so,
them. Like,
yeah, you know. Which, you know, we should welcome, whether you're Somali, whatever. And I right. do welcome. If you want to assimilate into part of America.
I'm good with
and
that.
Contribute. Like,
right.
That's how I feel.
Right. right?
But the problem is, like, no, that like that's not what we've been encouraging here. That's not
correct.
What we've been. And it just falls back to incentives, right? It's like, show me the incentives, I'll show you the outcome. If we
yeah.
if we fly people here and bring them here, you know, we give NGOs hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars to go facilitate the
right.
mass migration of people that could never come here themselves, had no probably desire to come here themselves. You know, they were just given a free meal ticket, a free house, all these free things, right, at the expense of the American taxpayer. That shit just has to totally stop. You know,
totally agree.
And the people that are responsible for that should really suffer consequences, I think.
They should get wrecked. Mm.
Well, before we wrap up here, Michelle, is there any other topic you want to talk about?
We did pretty good.
Yeah, we covered a lot of stuff.
Hyperinflation is coming. They might kill you. Get over it and get involved anyway. I mean, that's encouraging, isn't it?
We always have great. I think we have great conversational chemistry, Michelle.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're great. It just takes me a moment to adjust with to get your podcast voice going. It always
yeah.
hits me. But you have the coolest podcast studio
thanks.
I have ever been in. And for those that don't know, they can just bring their jet here, land, come hang out, take off.
It's perfect. Yeah.
yeah.
It's perfect. A day on the tarmac.
When are we going to get like a bright orange Bitcoin little plane?
Did you see
once
my,
Bitcoin's
did you see
at
my Matrix Bitcoin up there?
Yeah, I've seen that. What's the number? 1,000? What did he
no,
say?
I said once Bitcoin hits 500,000.
500. Oh, that. Hey, I'll take that. I was going to say a million. All right. 500K. We're going to have a bright orange plane right out this window. I'm going to fly a helicopter. It'll be a whole new world.
Michelle, it's been a pleasure.
It's been great.